This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. My guests today are Jinty Dutta and Cedric Brien, who make up the duo Greenvale Manitou. Jinty, originally from India, currently lives in Dundas. Prior to that, he toured the world for about 10 years with popular Indian singer-songwriter Pippon, with TV appearances and all. Jinty also serves currently as lead guitarist for Chad Johnson and the Minnesota Transplants. Cedric, who hails from France, moved to the U.S. in 2005, got a PhD at Penn State, and now lives in Northfield. Before this project, he served as a singer and a percussionist in multiple bands in Minneapolis. And before that, in France, he played solo in percussion bands and one heavy metal band. Together now as a duo Greenvale Manitou, Jinty and Cedric like to explore a variety of genres and instruments with percussion and tribal grooves as a common thread. They love to fuse their cultural musical backgrounds with popular Western music genres. Both are self-taught men who play numerous instruments on their tracks. They record, mix, and master in their respective studios, which they built from scratch. As a duo, they wish to be part of the vibrant pub brewery scene, especially here in Northfield, and also to play at clubs and festivals in and around the cities. No doubt they will be a busy duo, as their music is original, creative, and so very cool. It's time to get to know Greenvale Manitou. Let's talk with Cedric Brien and Jinty Dutta. Welcome, Cedric and Jinty.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yes, and I have to start it out with Bienvenue en Sagate, is that right? Mm-hmm. Welcome. I'm not sure if you speak Hindi or not, but that there we go. So, what a beautiful day outside. It's a little too cold for spring, but the sun is shining, and that's a good thing. I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Wendy, so much for hosting Musician Talk on your show. So, you guys, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And I guess I just want to kick things off with asking you about how you got to this part of the country from where you hail from. And so we'll start with Cedric and tell us how you ended up in Northfield.
Well, we just come from Penn State. I've spent 7 years in State College doing a PhD with my wife. And my wife found a position at Carleton, so I followed here 7 years ago. It's been 7 years that I've been here. Instead of putting myself in a national job market, I've done some adjuncting around in several places, McAllister, Olaf, and Carlton. And this year only, starting last September, I decided to transition towards a kind of a full-time music embrace world. So now I'm not teaching during regular semesters. I'm still teaching during summers. Modules that I've created, so that's fine. But I am now making music my work, and I guess teaching is now the hobby.
That's great. I love that. What do you teach?
French.
Oh, French.
Mainly that language, and you know, sometimes literature, a bit of philosophy, stuff like this.
Got it. All right. And now, this is a big leap to go.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It was a necessary one. It's been years I've been struggling to do anything. Yeah. Trying
courage.
To find pockets of time and... It's very much impossible.
Well, that's exciting, and we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go over to Jinty and ask you how you ended up in Dundas, Minnesota.
Yeah, also same kind of story. My wife, she also got a job in St. Olaf, but I was in India. She got a job here, then I had to move here. Then when basically it's kind of like exploring music here, you know, so it was a good chance to do all the stuff and build a studio. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, it's been pretty busy.
What does your wife teach?
She teaches in St. Olaf as a ethnomusicology.
Okay,
she
great.
Teaches like a kind of history of music.
Well, I should have her on the show.
Yeah.
I would love to have a show about the history of music.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, excellent. So I want to move on to Greenvale Manitou and mm-hmm. the inception of that. And it originally was a solo project, as I understand it, before Jinty came on board. So, Cedric, why don't you take us through the beginnings of this group?
Well, I wanted to do something with percussion all the time. So... Mm-hmm. I did not quite know what I wanted to do sound-wise. I know it was going to sound rock, that I was going to use electric guitars, acoustic guitars, and started exploring. But I know that I wanted as a tying glue, if you want, world percussion, especially djembes and African percussion, Latin too. And I was trying to find a name, right? So Greenville, I mean, you wrote the name is kind of weird.
Well, no, it's not weird. It's not weird. I think it's absolutely brilliant because cool. I live about three blocks away from Greenville. Right.
No, that's fine. And I went through stages. So the first thing was I wanted something that was going to sound like reminiscent of nature and of those organic sounds, mm-hmm. right? So I went for the natural. Then I looked at people and there was a bunch of MCs. I think it was one from Detroit that was called The Natural. So like, I can do this. Then I moved from something like I was called Bande de Sauvage, which means in French, Band of Savages. But then the idea was like, I need to make a band. And when I realized that it was more like me being alone, I could not have band with the, right? So plus, like, people are going to butcher this name. They're going to be like Band of Sauvages, and that's not going to work. So
Band of One Savage.
That one day I drive back home, and I'm in the corner of Greenville and Manitou, and I'm like, ta-da, makes perfect sense. Greenville, Manitou. It sounds like the Manitou in the Algonquian culture is a spirit of the nature.
Yes.
And so this is basically, if you make the two words together, the natural spirit that dwells in the Green Valley, Greenville, Manitou.
I love it.
So it works.
That totally works. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that you say Manitou instead of Manitou. That's so yeah. Minnesotan. Manitou. Wonderful. Okay, so you started recording music.
Uh-huh.
Just individually as this entity now that you created called Greenville Manitou.
Yes.
All right. And then?
And then a friend, so I was trying to build my studio too. And so I did that during the transition. I needed a place to work. So purchased a house a little while ago. And I knew exactly the both rooms that I wanted. But I needed to build this from scratch. So I needed to meet this guy. And a friend said, hey, do you know GNT in town? You know, he just built a studio. You should check him out and ask for advice. And so this is how we met.
Yeah.
You know?
Before we get over there to GNT, what do you mean by build a studio from scratch for people that have never built a studio?
Everything.
Have a studio
so
ahead,
yeah.
Go ahead. It's basically it's a
because he did the same thing.
The
yeah.
Okay. Good.
So normally we always look for a house without any like a basement, like kind of unfinished basement, and you can plan everything. You know, like having acoustic treatment, all the stuff. So basically, you just have a picture on your mind that I'm going to put this wall like that, and maybe I would have a control room or recording room differently. But sometimes if you're like, oh, no, like we have only one room, we can just have everything there, streaming, live shows, and what, like a recording and everything.
Yeah.
And planning all the sound, where you put the speakers, where you want to sit, where is going to be your spot, like a area to listen.
Yes.
Everything's so planned.
And it's a sound absorption is important in a situation like that, and also soundproofing. And when we made our studio, we have, I think, three layers of particle board. No, what's that called? The sheet board. What's that called?
Mm-hmm.
That you put on your walls. Anyway, that
dry
thing.
Walls,
drywall.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Like three different layers of three different thicknesses
to
try to get that separation.
Separation from other ones. Yeah.
So back to the Greenville Manitou story. Mm-hmm. So then you met GNT because you wanted to get his advice on the studio building. And
then it was a bunch of long trips to Menards, you know. Basically that, let's find the panels. Oh, acoustic panels, okay. Then carpets, walls, everything, ceilings.
Okay, and you did not do this in the last 2 years, right?
I started doing this when COVID hit, literally.
Okay, so things were pretty expensive, hard to get.
I had a bit of money on the side, and it was, you know, there for that. But everything, you know, absorption, diffusion, you know, you suddenly turn into a sound physicist, you know,
you
learn the acoustics of the room on top of all the things you need to do as a do-it-yourself musician these days.
Yes, exactly. So on top of showing Cedric how to build a studio, how did you guys start making music together?
So normally we try, because now only we two people in this band. Like in future, we are trying to, if somebody plays with us, like, you know, like as a band member, like, but when we started, like, we only two people, and he came up with like a new idea, like, hey, let's jam something. Then we jammed this song, Born of the Same. Like, we decided, you know what, let's play something. Like, we make a scratch out of it. And we spend some time because we don't know yet, like, because it's pretty new for both of us, like, because I the taste is very different. The way of making the song is very different. So it took longer than we expected for the Born of the Same. But now we're getting used to like the way, what's going to be the efficient way to work on together. But also like he shared, basically, I made a sketch. Then he went home with that. I sent him the file. And he sent me, hey, like this is the, lyrics I came up with. Like, take a listen. Like, I was, oh yeah, that sounds great. Totally different sound. Then, yeah, so basically layering stuff back and forth, the sending tracks, and so
it became extremely handy that both of you at this point had a studio.
Exactly.
And we really complete each other this way. You know, his studio is very built with mixing also very much in mind. Like, it's, mine is more like a creative space. I can record, I can imagine, I can compose.
Okay.
But when it's time to get to mixing, his space is better for that, with speakers. You know, at home, if I mix, I usually use headphones.
Got it.
I do have speakers too, but sure. You know, his place is more pro in this fashion.
So you talked about playing together, jamming, and what instruments are your main instruments?
My main instrument is the guitar.
Okay.
Then, like, I would play a bass guitar, but normally I always comes with, like, the guitar is my first instrument. Basically, I would prefer a guitar.
Got it. All right, yeah. And Cedric?
Well, on this jam, it's a good jam because we're actually using two songs from that jam. I filmed the jam.
Oh, cool.
And they're like, oh, we should do this. And, you know, selecting riffs and explore them further. On this jam, I was playing drums.
Awesome.
Trying to see what beat I could do on his riffs. But, you know, sometimes I can show up with an acoustic guitar and we can play together or just sit down and sing on something.
Wonderful. So you're both guitar players, singers, and...
Yeah.
You're more the percussionist. Yeah. And you're more the techno guy.
He plays bass, I play bass. We play other things.
Yeah. Well, how wonderful. How wonderful. Yeah. Well, let's turn to the first song and let's talk about that a little bit before we hear it. And this is called Song to the Fascist. And this was done prior to becoming a duo when it was just a solo group. So we'll talk to Cedric about this first song. So tell me about it. What's the inception of it? How did it start in your head?
Well, it was very personal. You know, we all... It came from an experience that I had with a guy who was one of the first musicians that I've met when I moved here a few years ago.
Okay.
And he was very controlling, he was very bossy, you know, which could be good if you manage a band. Sometimes you need someone to be a bit assertive like this and a bit like, let's get stuff into place. It helps.
Yeah.
But I felt like there was some issues going on with power and control.
Yeah.
Which is sad because he was a good guitarist. And then the more we work together, the more I'm noticing stuff that I was displeased with, you know, a lot of Islamophobic remarks on Facebook.
Oh, no.
A lot of homophobic remarks. And then I'm starting to feel I don't want to share a space with someone like this. I don't want to share an image like this. And then, of course, some sort of drama happened, like it happens pretty much in every band. and I decided just to move away at a time with the drummer. Then we just did our thing on the side. And we jammed with this drummer who also originated from that same experience, who really wanted to leave but didn't know what to do, and started to like roll eyes and all that stuff. And we decided to sit down, and this is the first thing that came out. All this song to the fascist started like that. And then, of course, came the whole last presidency and the whole run. And as some of those events were happening, I slowly turned the song into something slightly more political there. But originally, it had nothing to do with, you know, politics or anything. It's more like a generalized idea of a fascist archetype. Especially,
right.
Let's say, you know, a man, usually a man, very controlling, etc. This kind of organic thing where you surround yourself with people that are also power-hungry.
Yes, man.
And feed off one another.
Yes.
You know, and then can be discarded in the flick of an eye. That was the idea.
Oh, that's wonderful. And when you read the title, of course, you think political first, particularly with these last...
I turned it this way because I remember releasing the song. This was never a single. This was never on streaming. I always wanted this to be more like a free stuff you could listen to on SoundCloud.
Wonderful.
But I wanted to make something of it, and I released it. I remember 1 week before Trump came to the Target Center in the cities.
Wow. Yeah.
That was the moment.
Yes, I really do not want to recall. But I love the fact that this is personal as well as political. I mean, it just works on every level.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, let's take a listen to Song to the Fascist, written and performed by Cedric Brion. Cedric is half of the duo Greenville Manitou, who are in my in the studio today with me. So let's take a listen.
Everyone's so headstrong. We jump across the cliffs of us. We jump across the cliffs of us.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. We just played Song to the Fascist, an original tune written, performed, and recorded by one of my guests today, Cedric Brion. So, okay, this is, it has such a big sound.
Yes, I'm glad it sounds, you know, it still sounds good.
It sounds great, actually. I don't know that you need to polish anything. We were just talking a little bit about that. And but the sound, how do you get such a big sound? It's just you in the studio.
Yeah.
How do you get that?
Well, you start layering and you hope for the best, I guess.
Got it.
You know, I started with the guitars.
Okay.
I remember I started with a Fender amp and a terribly cheap yet awesomely sounding Orange guitar, which is some sort of an emulation of a Power Strat.
Okay.
So I used the Shure SM58 in front of the amp, trying just to get that crispy sound that we know Fender does, you know,
yes,
like this combination, and then mixed it a bit, then added drums on it, then added bass on it. I think that was the order. Yeah. Then I played drums on that, then I played bass, then I started recording the djembes, then I recorded the voice.
Wow.
And, you know, that's always the trouble when you do layering this way. You need to sound like a band. You need
right.
to sound like this is happening at the same time. You need to put yourself in a groove every time you record each new layer as if you were playing with one other guy, two other guys, three other guys, four other guys.
Right, and you're doing it all yourself.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive, I must say. Some other things that I wanted to say about this. First of all, your voice is incredible, the versatility of it. It can sound very sweet, and it can sound very, very driving.
Yes.
And metal, yeah. I guess you would say.
I like to change voices like that.
Yeah.
It is going to be very much part of our sound. I'm going to sing in so many different ways in this project.
Yeah, and the juxtaposition of when you are singing a little sweeter, if that's the word, a little more lyrical, the juxtaposition of that against that music is very interesting, too.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I wanted some sensibility to that. You know, I didn't want the song to be totally angry and...
Yeah.
You know, those sweet moments also translate emotional moments that are much more like almost childish, you know, almost innocent, like this. Why is this going on?
Right.
Why are families being split? Why am I seeing children crying, being put into planes and
yes.
never seeing their families and being sent in countries they don't know? You know, why is this happening?
And I think that, I mean, the metal voice isn't necessarily my favorite just because it hurts to listen to. I feel like people are hurting their voices. So this so appealed to me to bring both those elements in. And it's very, just very, very powerful. So thank you for writing that and putting it down. So let's move on. You guys both songwrite. You both, okay. Mm-hmm. And so how has songwriting changed since becoming a duo?
Change a lot.
Right. Yeah. I'm still, you know, like in this do-it-yourself world where, you know, if you're a solo artist, you know, you basically are a multiple. There's no such thing as solo artist. What you're talking about, we are multiple hydras, like we're multiple entities.
Got it.
I am my CEO, I'm my manager, I'm my publisher, I'm the guy who kicks myself in the butt, you know.
The motivator.
Exactly.
The
I'm
trainer.
Everything. And so it was very good to start delegating some of that stuff. So really songwriting is split now. His production is much more accomplished than mine, so he's really a lot about producing in the box. I'm still taking care of a lot of songwriting as well. You know, sometimes we write songs based on some of his riffs, sometimes songs that I have already, we remix stuff. So songwriting is kind of shared. We really want to work together this way. Born of the Same was a good example of that effort. You know, I would come back home, as he said earlier, you know, with a guitar riff and a beat, then I come back with voice, then he suggests electronics on this, then I suggest we should add some organic cajon on this, and we build up step by step, you know, us together. And songs like that can take so many directions, but then as you build brick by brick,
yes,
you know, you suddenly marvel at this thing that you really have built together, and that is the combination of two songwriters respecting each other and building in respect to one another.
Nice.
Song first, and then ego second, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's hard to come by, actually.
Yeah. I think we found each other very well this way. We do know how to give us feedback without vexing each other. We
I like that, without
we're very
vexing each other.
This way. Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned Born of the Same, which we're going to listen to later, just so people know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and Jinty, you are more of the techno person, so you do more of the effects when you bring it into. Okay.
Yeah. So normally, like at this Born of the Same, like I recorded the guitar first. Like it's very kind of a rough, like a scratch, you can say.
Okay.
Then I figured out maybe I should just put something electronic kit. Like I had some virtual instruments, like I put there. And I was like stuck there, basically.
Stuck, okay.
And then I sent him the file, like, hey, if you can work on something. Like, then he came up with a kind of like a tune on top of it. Like he didn't decide the lyrics yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then he sent me back. Then I felt like, okay, it can be a different direction now. And so basically after that, I put some layers of guitars. Then I put some little bit distortion guitar. Then after that, I sent it him back again. Then he came out with the good lyrics and all the stuff. Then we decided, hey, like we should definitely put some, you know, like a organic instrument, like a kind of like a cajon and djembe. Then when he told me about it, you know what? Now I feel like I want to put some nature sound. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
What did you think of that?
It's pretty normally. It's like a. It's very hard. It was, I think it's cold, right? Because we can't go out and there's no board outside, basically. You just have to...
Right. You wanted to do it live as opposed to find some... Yeah,
but there ain't no seagull in Minnesota.
You there's know? No seagull in Minnesota. But I remember the seagull sound has a very unique sound to it. Like it's kind of more distorted kind of sound. It's just like it fits the sound. Uh-huh. And we can't just put like very like a sweet bird song or anything because it's the song it's has some kind of a weight to it. So I decided put the bird, the seagull is kind of be good because it's I put a little bit distortion on top of it, like make it a little bit more like a wider sound.
Yes, that's interesting. I would have never thought of that.
It's everything is new. We're just exploring. So. Yeah, so that's how we just so.
And that's going to be definitely in our tracks. We like to sample stuff. Use samples to kind of participate in the greater story of the song.
So when you say sample, I know what that means, but probably a lot of people out there don't know what that means, a sample. What is a sample in music world?
Sample basically is like it's a kind of loop. Recorded any sound, it can be, if I record a guitar, to these days, like you can just find a lot of samples. You have to pay for it. Like, you just play a guitar and you can just sell this kind of site. And people anywhere in the world, they can access to that. If you go to the site, anyone, they can access to that loop file. Mm. So you put it there, you get inspired, make music. It can be a guitar, it can be a drum. It can be any nature sound. It can be any sound, like any sound, kind of any kind of sound.
And often people use these live if they have an instrument or some kind of percussion loop or rhythm that they want to have in it that they don't have a person on stage for.
Yeah.
So often Steve, my husband, who's a drummer, he makes loops because he can't play the kit and a shaker. But the song really needs a shaker.
Shaker, yeah.
And so he has a little machine next to him and he hits the button and it'll play that loop when song when he wants it to play. A loop or the sample. Mm-hmm. And loop, they call it a loop because it's maybe let's say it's 8-measure phrase and then a loop again and again and again, again, and again, again in the song wherever you want it. So that's what a sample is. I'm going to take a little bit of a jump away from the songwriting before we take a listen to Born of the Same. And I started something new last week on this, talking about the importance of music. And why I do this show is to talk about the importance of music and to highlight it. And I started with a quote. And I have one this week that I would like you guys to comment on. This is Billy Joel. And seeing as you guys are from cultures that are different from mine, this one spoke to me for today. And Billy Joel said, "I think music in itself is healing. It's an explosive expression of humanity. It's something we're all touched by. No matter what culture we're from, everyone loves music."
Yeah. So, like, I would say it's... I like the quote for sure, but it's like it's amazing. But also, I was like, think it's kind of language, basically, also too, because and meditation, you'd say, and like when normally went everywhere, like when I moved here, like I was like very shy, and only because of music, I was like very it's basically you can't say a lot of words because playing music and everything. And with Chad, when I met Chad, like I was like very shy and I can't say any. I was very like I wasn't very good at English too. But we spent a lot of time playing music. Then we basically know like what he wants to say or what I want to hear. It's like very helpful. Like it's kind of for me. It's very important. It's kind of a language meditation, you can say. Yeah. Also too. That's what happened. Like us too. Like yes, it's like it's spent so like we spent so much time playing music more than talking.
Right.
So we communicate. You know, too. We have to remember that neither Jinti nor I, you know, have English as our native tongue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So even when we communicate together, English is our second or sometimes even third, fourth language for you, right?
Yeah.
Mine is my second, technically, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. How many languages do you speak?
I don't speak them, but I've studied, I don't know, I've studied German, Spanish, and a bunch of dead languages that I'm not using, thank God. I'm not speaking in Latin today.
You can, but feel free.
It's a great quote. You know, I would say that I would push the quote to even say that art, and not just music in itself, mm-hmm. is healing. Yeah. It's healing, it's a great process of healing for the creator, as for the audience, you know, it can be something that's a catharsis for you too.
Yes.
As an artist, but you make people cry, you make people laugh, you remind them of, this is the role of the singer-songwriter. You take notes of what's going on, you help literally your species, almost on an animalistic level, how to cope with joy, suffering, laughter, and help maybe just tilt their head a certain way so that they can see stuff. You know, I think it's kind of what we do. We are weird guides, and we also try to look at social political problems and explain them very easily. I think a good song does that, right? A good song can explain something very complicated.
Yes.
In simpler ways. It is there to bond. It is there to.
And in ways that hit the heart.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Simpler and more emotional, perhaps, than a treaty that you might read or text you might read on that same problem.
Can be a bit brainy too, I don't mind, but if it doesn't touch your heart, then it's kind of too brainy. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it doesn't have that emotion.
Right, exactly.
But
I think that this quote to me is, I love the explosion expression of humanity, and I think that is all art as well.
Yeah,
love that expression. I think that, and I like that he says no matter what culture we're from, because it does break down barriers. Music does break down those cultural barriers that the false barriers that we put up. They are not real. They're absolutely false, but music has a way of knocking that down, which is really incredible. So I think we'll segue into Born of the Same, because I am very interested in the inception of this song. Let's see here. I highlighted this lyric. This really hit me. It took no advice to devise what's in the bigger picture. I paid the price of lies. Now they're regular fixtures. And that just is really, boy, don't we all suffer from that?
Yeah.
And then the pray to kill the rage. And I think that also spoke to me, too. I've been very rageful politically.
Yes.
I can't even listen to the news now because I get so anxious right away.
I know.
It just kind of affected me permanently those 4 years and continuing. And it's finding a way to kill that rage is important to me right now. So
music does that too. You
know? Yes,
can
exactly.
Can serve as an anthem for you, can serve as anything, you know. It has this nice purpose.
So tell me about Born of the Same.
How it started? So it really started from that jam that I mentioned.
That's right.
The one that
we
filmed.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're
working on a song on Ukraine right now, for instance, called Skies and Grain, and it also comes from the same jam. So that jam was pretty prolific. We're going to make a couple of... I'm glad I recorded it. Yeah. But it started with this jam, as Jinti explained, that I went back home, and this is pretty much what happened, right? Because I went back home with the electric guitar and this hip-hop beat that you will listen to in a second, I think the song started to get hip-hop straight away. I thought, you're going to have to rap on this. And then, you know, a couple of exchanges like this. We didn't know, you know, originally I wanted the song to be kind of like the jam. It was going to sound with a drum kit and a bit more rock. But as we build the song, we also try to find our sound. This is the first song we are literally building together. And we really wanted to, you know, we have not found totally our voice yet. We're just starting. So this song was also very much a workshop and an experiment. We wanted to do fusion music. The both of us really like to escape niches as most as we can.
Nice.
This is why this song we want confusing. Is it a hip-hop song? Is it a dream pop song? Is it a dream rock song? Is it an electronic song? It has some organic. There's real djembe on it. There's real cajon on it. So there's acoustic too. It's there to confuse. Is it to confuse you outside of your comfortable niches?
Right. Well, I have written down here. I love the different genres mixed up because it just seems like it, but it all fits together so well, seamlessly. I love that.
Well, thank you, Jinti, because the mix is pretty complicated because of all those layers.
Yeah, I bet it was. Editing that was a monster. How about lyrically? Where did the inception of the lyrics come once you started writing those?
That was also an interesting workshop. So lyrically, I do not follow one method, you know, bottom up, or bottom down, or top up, or whatever it's called, top down, bottom up. I forgot.
I haven't heard those terms as far as songwriting.
You know, it's like you can start writing a song with lyrics, and then you put it into music, or you can start sitting behind your guitar, and then you start working with a riff, and then music comes. On this one, I know what sounds I wanted, so really, sometimes I like to consider the vocals and the words as being a percussive instrument first. I went back home and I played around the riff singing stuff that made no sense because I was much more interested in the alliterations and the assonances of some of the syllables that I was doing. So I was articulating my sounds, if you want, just taking notes on sounds. And then those sounds turned into lyrics. So I did not have some sort of a clear idea in mind, but I had sounds and I wrote words afterwards around those sounds. And then I this is a marvelous experience because then you look at a song you've just written like this and you discover your own words. Like, what is it that I meant in this very interesting, you know, very tied down, very, you know, narrowed down with a lot of constraints, if you want, way of writing.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm reading the lyrics and I'm seeing a lot of animals. I'm seeing like references to the Big Bad Wolf, the Minotaur. There's a cichlid at some point. There's a seagull. There's all those natural elements in the song. I think the song in the end is very much about what we experience, as you say, all of us during COVID. There's a lot of frustrations about the whole COVID experience. How you look at your job. And you're like, you know, I've been doing this for years now. Do I really need this in my life? How do I need this in my life? You know,
a lot of people make changes.
How do I need to pay $2,000 of daycare so that I can go kill myself and never see my children grow? You know,
right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. So those are the frustrations. I think when I looked at the lyrics afterwards, it comes from frustrations. You know, just leaving my academic job as well, looking at the office space as being not necessarily a healthy place.
Got it. So when you're saying change our game, that's kind of what you're referring to.
Well, no, change our game is, all those experiences. Right. Can we do better than this? But change our game, I think, is more like a well-needed statement where I think in these days we kind of need to relearn how to talk to one another.
I mean, we need a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Complete shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if we vote differently, you know, we have to find a way to... I'm sure even if people are very, very different, they might still find points of interest. We need to be able to communicate somehow.
When I first saw this title, I thought Born of the Same. I thought you guys were getting to the fact that you're from different cultures.
Yeah.
And yet, as we all, my belief anyway, no matter what culture you are, we're still all the same.
Yeah.
We want love. We want to be healthy. And
we want our kids to be safe.
And our kids to be safe. Yes, exactly. So I have one more question before we play the song. How are you guys going to replicate this live?
So we are planning. So now we have only two people. So in the future, if you have like bandmates, then we'll just distribute all the parts. But now we are planning to do a lot of production first. And whatever we have, we'll basically have a backing track. So we'll cut all guitars, I'll play live, and cut his stuff, then he can play live, but the structure of the song will be there, and we'll have put in ears, have a click track going on.
Yeah.
That way, people are not going to listen to click track.
Right, it'll be just in your ear.
Yeah.
But we'll hear the whole structure of sound, like with the click. That way, would have a full produced sound. It's exactly will sound like a basically a MP3, like a produced song.
So backing tracks is kind of along the same lines of sample and loops.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pre-recorded something. Pre-recorded in this instance, it would be more than just a shaker. It would be everything that you guys aren't playing on stage. You can't physically play on stage.
You get a lot of versatility going on there. You know, on stage, I want to sing. I want to play djembe for sure because I've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of tracks I want to be behind a drum set for a full percussion experience. Sometimes just singing with no distraction and nothing in my hands.
Yeah.
Oh, I think.
And Jinty plays a lot of things too. So sometimes you'll see him with a guitar, maybe bass guitar behind a computer using samples.
Yeah.
So it's all about, do we need more, you know, session musicians now, or do we need to incorporate other people? I think we're going to stay pretty much the main songwriters there because we fit pretty well this way.
It's a big decision.
It's a big decision too.
It is.
And you know, it's and you know, even if a song sounds a certain way, also recorded, you can also remanipulate that song live too. We can do stuff acoustic. We can do stuff.
Yeah,
just voice and a couple of sounds. We can always retouch stuff.
I think it would be very interesting to go to your gig when you do it just as a duo. Also, if you hire other musicians too, but to watch you moving from your different instruments, depending on what song it is and how you're doing that.
You're not bored, you know what I mean?
Audience will not be bored either. All right, so it's time to take a listen to Born of the Same.
I'm excited.
Recorded and performed by my guests, Cedric Brion and Jinty Dutta from the duo Greenvale Manitou. Many thanks to Cedric and Jinty for sharing their journey.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Yeah, also it is all.
can you fail? Change our game. We're born of the same flame. Took no advice and advise what's in the bigger picture. I paid the price of lies, now they're regular fixtures. I'm calming down with a frown, never part of the mixture. Soon as the bullshit. Yeah, they're coming out to get ya. And it's never gonna change. Stay in the main age, broken in your range. Ridiculous age, turn it to the page. Never hear the sage. Same thing for that in Asia. Living with a cringe, shifting at the strange. And bidding up the stranger. Time to rearrange, but some days I feel like I'm the only one trying. Change ya again. Change ya again. We're born of the same.
This is Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. My guests today are Cedric Brian and Jinti Dutta from the duo Greenvale Manitou. You just heard their tune called Born of the Same. So this song is intensely cool. That's the first thing I wrote down. It's really, really, really cool. And it's sexy. There's sexy parts to it.
We wanted it like that, yeah.
Again, incredible singing.
Thank you.
The variety of things that you can do with your voice is really great. Your range is incredible.
Thanks.
As I said before, I love the different genres, and it's so seamlessly put together. Jinti, well done. And the beginning of the tune, I love that. The nature part. I'm sorry, we got a little delayed there. But thank you so much. That's a really wonderful song. We need to hit these last couple things before we wrap up, and I do want to hear, you guys haven't had gigs as Greenvale Manitou, but you've had plenty of experience as musicians out there, so what do you have for me with best gig, worst gig?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So this is Jinti.
There's so many best gigs, but yes. Like one gig is like we had in Glasgow, Scotland. It's a Celtic festival.
Okay.
It's because the venues are, it's not the big venue. But it's kind of like part of the venues always, they happens like every, like after 2 hours, they would change the venues and we would go walk to every venues. And all the musicians from every world, it's like, it's basically gathering of musicians more than people watching.
Uh-huh.
It's always, it's like so many people around you as a musician and you go have a beer or something, like
yes.
Always like around the musicians. So that one's a good one. And the worst one could be with the Papon.
Okay.
So that one's like very worse. This was also festival in India. So we are performing like in the middle of performing. Like I was like playing a solo, and I was like shredding, and I saw something flying towards me, and I flew so hard. And next time I saw my singer, he had a. And he hit head, and I can.
What was it?
It was rock.
Oh no! Yeah. I thought it was a bird. Wow. Oh
yeah.
No!
And like next time, I saw his bleeding basically, and he couldn't because he was so much pressure because singing the part. Like I was like, just stop! Like you're bleeding, just stop.
Right.
And we had to just stop, and the police came, and they had to shut down the whole show that day, and didn't happen. And we had to wait for so long time to move the crowd away. And yeah, that was the worst.
Yeah, I think that is the worst gig I've heard on my 55 shows. That's the bad one. Haven't
Scotland?
It's not Scotland. It's not going to happen for sure in Scotland. It was in India. It's like a lot of people and something happened like in the organizer. It's not about the people. I think it's like some grudge, I think. But yeah, it was
Scotland bad. Usually they toss trees at you, not rocks, right?
Yeah.
that's what those guys do in the field, right?
And also I was like playing guitar, like I can see something just flying. I'm like flying so hard and
wow.
And it had to hit me.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Cedric?
Well, mine is a bit weird. I think my best gig is also my worst gig.
Okay.
If it makes sense. Sometimes it gets so strange. It might really be your best stuff. So we were hired. I was in this metal band in France. We were doing metal originals and also covers of classic, you know, like Metallica and Iron Maiden, that stuff. And we were hired to do a special event for a birthday. Someone who really liked our music, too. I recognized the guy. He was coming to our venues quite often. And we didn't know what to expect. It was the best paid show that we had. Like, they paid very well, you know, at the time for indie we had like 800 a head, you know,
wow.
Like a small venue. Like, what's going to happen there? Is this something that I should be aware of? And so we get there, it was in the middle of nowhere, like a desert in the middle of Burgundy. And it's, yeah, it was a place with half-naked ladies all over the place.
Ah.
And you know, poles and stuff like this. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the place. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. And so I had this guy scream in my face for 2 hours straight. That was the birthday guy. Maybe 2 inches from my face.
Oh, no.
With this very nice Heineken meats chips kind of breathing, you know. Like bad Manchester United hooligan type of guy, you know, and it was, and I could not really, because it was his celebration. It was so trash, but he was really literally singing to my face, like, run to the hills. And it was just like, it was getting in the mic and you could not do anything. The boss in the back was like, yeah. And then there's like all naked ladies everywhere. And we slept there and the lady stayed as well. I remember, like, okay, this is interesting. What's going on? You know,
it's very weird.
It's still a good experience. You know, we stayed there. We ate pizzas at 3 a.m. The boss at someone's like, hey, here are the keys. I'm back tomorrow morning. You guys crash there. Like, wow, this is cool. But yeah, it was a bit strange for a little while.
That sounds strange. That sounds like it kind of got a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
Glad that you ended up eating pizza at 3 a.m.
No, right. No. With naked ladies.
With naked ladies. That's not a bad
What
thing.
Toppings do you want? You know.
Exactly. All right. So where can people find you and your music? Where
well, so we just started. So I just literally submitted the single 14th. So okay. A couple of days ago.
Yep.
It's our first song. So we discussed for a while aggregators, which we go, website. Everything is still built right now. So the song is going to be available on streaming as soon as it pops up. It's been submitted. So it's there. All platforms, all of them.
All of them.
And they can search under Greenville, Manitoba or the name of the same.
Yeah, just say Greenville, of the same. I think it's not there yet. I've checked. It didn't pop up yet. Okay. But this week, I'm going to take the time to finalize our Bandcamp page as well. And as well as a website. The website is greenvillemanitou.com. I'm going to put some merchandise buttons there so that you can also download the song as an MP3 or a lossless file if you want it.
Okay.
And I'll just put that, you know, I'll just put 0.99 cents, something like this, you know, for the song download.
You said greenvillemanitou.com.
.com.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All in one word. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, those...
I suppose there's not too many people have Greenville, Manitoba as their website.
No,
so you're able to get .com.
Yeah. That's the great thing about this name, too. Like, for, you know, a Google search, it's perfect.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's got this.
Nobody
name.
Else is going to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any gigs? Do you have anything lined up? Or where
yeah,
you
Yeah, I have a gig with Chad in the Dundas Soccer Dome.
Oh.
Next April 30th.
April 30th?
This is a private gig.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we have a... pretty much a lot of gigs this summer.
All right. And your schedule, once you start playing gigs, which I think would be just fascinating to see, and you'll definitely be playing at some of the pubs around here, that schedule will be on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a couple of people in the local breweries. I think it's totally doable.
Ah, yes. Awesome. That's a nice part of being in a small town. You get to know all those people. Thank you so much for being on. It's such an honor to meet you and to speak about some different cultures. And we didn't get to speak any other languages here. But next time, maybe we'll start speaking some French. Thank you very much for being on.
So
and it was great to meet you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Many thanks to Cedric and Jinty for sharing their journeys and adventures with us today. What an incredibly creative duo they have put together with Greenville, Manitou. And as always, I am so grateful to you for listening to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. This is your host, Pauline Jennings, signing off, and I hope you have a terrific day.